Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood. And before I do anything else, I'd just love to say thank you to Don Newsome, Doug Newsome, and Seth Hendrick over at BBS Radio for giving us this great platform to use Hollywood to raise consciousness. Positive media absolutely rocks. And speaking of some things that rock, we have Joyce Schwarz as our guest this evening. She is a leader and visionary and the author of the best-selling book, The Vision Board, The Secret to an Extraordinary Life. And if you'd like to pull up that website, it's a beautiful website. It's at www.ihaveavision.org, www.ihaveavision.org. So if anyone out there this evening would like to come to call in and speak with Joyce about vision boarding or ideas that you have or share stories of success from vision boarding or anything else that you have in mind, get a pen and a paper or a pencil or a crayon and take down this phone number. For the U.S. only, toll-free, it is 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada only, it's 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. Joyce Schwarz is somebody that I've met this past year, and I have been fascinated by how fast things happen when you actually distinguish them with vision boarding. And I believe Joyce used the vision boarding process to get this book in place. She actually had 75 wisdom leaders, celebrities, and Hollywood personalities agree to write stories for this book and to contribute to this book. And it is a fantastically well laid out book that really takes you step by step on the vision boarding process. And you'll hear stories of people who have changed their lives and, you know, overcome illness, attracted the love of their life, great wealth, great success, all kinds of happiness. And for me personally, I just started vision boarding again this past week. And by the time I put a few pictures on that board, I found myself in exactly the same situation I had on the vision board within 5 days of putting it on the board. And I came back home after this trip we took and looked at the vision board, and I said, oh, my gosh, from declaration to manifestation is almost immediate now. So I'm very, very excited to have Joyce on our show this evening to talk about vision boarding and anything else that you'd like to talk about. So let me give you those call-in numbers again. It's toll-free in the U.S. only, 877-876-5222, toll-free in Canada, 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-5222, and with it could be a 5 or a 3222, actually. I just looked at our guest phone number with an accent, and I think I might be doing that with this number, too. I didn't think I needed glasses, but maybe I do. So the two toll-free numbers I gave you are accurate. So call those if you'd like to call in and ask Joyce a question or make a comment. And without further ado, I'd like to bring Joyce on to give you her background herself, because coming from her, it will sound a lot more exciting to you than me reading it. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Joyce Schwarz. Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, you know, I'm a big fan of the show. I've blogged about it before, and I think I've called in 3 or 4 times. So
yeah, it's been great to have
me on it. And I look at the pretty beautiful picture of you and your family, and you have a new addition, right?
Yes, and we vision boarded that.
Okay, so his name is what, Chewbacca?
Chewbacca is the teacup Yorkshire Terrier, and we had been going and looking at puppies with the breeder for over a year, and just looking to get free puppy kisses and to give puppy love, you know, just go visit puppies, basically, knowing that one day we would be ready for a puppy, but not really shopping. And from last Mother's Day, a year ago, I had a picture taken of my husband, John, myself, and a little Yorkshire Terrier teacup puppy. And we put it on our desk at the office, and we're looking at it every day, you know, whether we're meaning to look at it or not, it's in our consciousness. And lo and behold, one day, my stepdaughter said, "Katie, look at this picture." And it was after we got Chewbacca. And she brought me the picture, and I looked at it, and I almost started crying because the power in visioning is so incredible. It was the same puppy. It's not actually Chewbacca. It's a puppy from a year ago who looked just like Chewbacca. And we ended up with a puppy who looks exactly like the puppy that you saw in the picture. Chewbacca is identical to that puppy.
And he's
so,
a little brown and beige, kind of tan color,
black and
right?
Tan. Black and tan. He's almost 2 pounds. He won't get any bigger than 3 pounds. And he is just a bundle of love and energy, and he lives to be a good boy. And we've got him in puppy school, and I'm learning so much about myself through Chewbacca. Honestly.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Well, I want to, first of all, too, before I forget, to once again thank you and John Steller, of course, your wonderful husband, for your help with the book. And I know I gave you at least a little bit of thanks in the acknowledgments on page 173 of the book. But both of you went way out of the way, and you introduced me to and included and responded and had several of your clients from Steller Communications that are featured in the book, too.
Right, and I just see that it was wonderful flow and a wonderful collaboration, and it just came about so effortlessly and easily that, you know, that's the way life is meant to be.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, part of what you're saying about Chewbacca, you know, and those of us that are dog fans, whether or not we have one right now, we, you know, think about this, and we'll often have, you know, pictures surrounding us in our lives. And that's why I say the whole concept of vision boarding is you've probably already created some sort of visual map to your future that is actually surrounding you in some way. And a lot of people have pictures on the refrigerator, or like you were mentioning, you and John have pictures on desk at work, or other people have pictures on a piano or on a mantle over a fireplace, or even in your cubicle if you're working in a more corporate environment. And so we've always had defining images, as I call them, that surround us. But now as we become more aware of the power of images, and that's one of the things that I've learned so much from talking to and being involved with so many wonderful people from the book, including Jack Canfield, who wrote the postscript for the book, and Bob Proctor, who wrote the preface, and Marie Diamond, who talks about how images and the feng shui are important in our lives. And just, you know, some wonderful people. Even let's give a shout out to Hale Dwoskin, who didn't get in the book, but was so kind to do an interview with us. But we had so many things, and we had to cut out a few people. At least the editor did, unfortunately.
Yeah, right. And this is HarperCollins, and the book is available everywhere.
Yeah, the book is available in 6,000 bookstores. It's also in your local library. And it's available at Amazon.com. And if you'd like to see a free chapter of the book, just email either me or Kate. You can email me at thevisionboard@AOL.com, or Kate's number is on the bbsradio.com site, right?
Yeah, the way to contact me is there.
Okay, good. And then, you know, we'll be glad to get you a free chapter of the book and put you on the mailing list for the free newsletter. But talking about my background...
Yeah, go ahead.
What makes it so much fun, in case anybody wants to call in, is that you and I have some things in common, is that I other than knowing John together, I had done a lot of work in helping people break into the new Hollywood, which was, you know, beyond just regular motion pictures or radio or TV, but moving into games and moving into CD-ROMs in those days, and multimedia, and into online videos. And now we've got even mobisodes, mobile webisodes on our phone, and all sorts of opportunities. So if anybody is in the Hollywood business or thinking about getting into acting, directing, or producing, you've really got a dynamic duo, if I can say so myself, on the phone tonight and on the show, because both of us have very complementary backgrounds. And a vision board can be very powerful in revisioning your own career and taking a look at it and giving it some, actually, this whole concept of manifestation, I think, that you talked about with me in the green room ahead of time.
Yes, and the thing is, too, Joyce, The thing, you know, when The Secret came out, a lot of people said, I've been doing that my entire life. I just didn't know what to call it. And, you know, when you see The Secret, you can learn to be intentional about attracting. And the vision board is a wonderful way to begin attracting and vibrate an exact vibrational match to that which you are wanting. And, you know, as Esther Hicks says, when you get in your mind, or I think it's Abraham through Esther Hicks says, when you get in your mind what it is you want exactly and distinguish it exactly with pictures, with words, with anything that you can, you're sending out a rocket of desire to bring it to yourself. And honestly, I can tell you that for my entire lifetime, if I had a thought in my mind, it eventually came to pass. And the more I tap into source and the more I communicate with my higher self, which I call my knower, and everybody has this ability, and it's your sixth sense, it's your third eye, it's your pineal gland, it's that place you go when you meditate, it's that place you go when you're driving and you forget where you are. You're tuning into yourself, and when you do that, you are rebalancing your frequencies and your vibration to attract that what's in your consciousness. And what you think about, you bring about. In the vision board is an excellent way to help you keep thinking about the things you want, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you said it so beautifully, too. I hope we're recording this.
We are.
But I think one of the things that, you know, you bring up and that it's so important for people is that, one, you can do your board. You can do more than one board, and you don't have to just do one board for it a year. A lot of people do this big, giant overview board with all these things, except maybe even including a new stainless steel kitchen sink on it. But one of the things you want to do is to take a look right now. For example, if you've got someone in your family who's graduating, or maybe, you know, you've just got people that are recently married, or you've got friends that are celebrating an anniversary, it's a perfect opportunity to do a vision board for that part of your life and mm-hmm. see where you're going for the next year or what it is you want. And not just the stuff, although there's nothing wrong with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can certainly have a new car and still be spiritual, I think. Don't you think, Kate?
I have a Bentley on my vision board.
Okay! Yay! And so that's part of the fun, is that nothing is out of range. And,
right.
I think that that's one of the things that's so fabulous about the vision board concept. And you can create it, and you are co-creating your life along with the universe.
Yep, absolutely. And the vision board's kind of like blueprint.
I'm sorry, can you hear you?
The vision board can be your blueprint.
Absolutely, and I think that's a good analogy, especially for guys that are often familiar with the concept of blueprints, or those of us that have designed our homes or maybe looked at blueprints, or even if you're a home sewer or you're a costume designer and you've looked at patterns, the concept of using a pattern, but of course it doesn't have to be cookie cutter. There is no one right way to do a vision board, and that's what's so fascinating in terms of this book, is it actually shows 100 different, not only vision boards, but defining images. We had some beautiful images from one of your artists that is located in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, Gold, Max Gold.
Yeah, and Max is the father of fusion art, and he has some beautiful images of roses and some beautiful images in the book, and gives us an idea that, you know, when more we look at an image, the more we'll actually see. And this turns into this concept of actually getting as close proximity as possible to what it is you want in life. And if you want a Bentley, then don't put a picture of a Volkswagen up there.
You know what? That's a good point, and I take it even a step further. My stepdaughter loves to do this game called Punch Buggy, where she sees a Volkswagen, she'll tap me on the arm and say, Punch Buggy. You know, it's a Punch Buggy game.
Yes.
And I did that with her for a while, and I started thinking, wait a minute, I remember that I'm a powerful person. I don't want a bunch of Volkswagens. I started doing Punch Bentleys.
Oh, I love it. And I think those little personal twists help remind us and help us get centered as to what it is that's important in our life. And mm-hmm. you can still be spiritual and have fun, too.
Absolutely. And what the Bentley is an example for me, it shows me that I can have, do, and be anything I choose. It shows me that for doing great work of, that's being of service, which is all I do. Every single income stream that I have is I've created it myself, and it's all being of service, every single thing. And I believe people who are being of service deserve to be paid handsomely and to live eloquently and elegantly to whatever degree they choose to. I don't believe that martyrism is good for anybody, like to live like a pauper and give everything you have away. It's really overrated. And I believe that people who are truly successful and happy from the inside out will acquire things for themselves that keep them feeling happy. And I know when I drive that Bentley, Joyce, that people will see that if I could do it, so could they.
Right. They'll be inspired by you, which I'm sure they're inspired by you anyway. And I have a section in the book in a chapter 7, which is talking about social entrepreneurism, of actually making money, making a something for something proposition of making and creating income by doing good. And this has become part of our lifestyle. And, of course, we all know this with many celebrities. As you know, when I launched the book at the Digital Hollywood Conference, we set up a little silent auction, and then we had a couple of charities there that we were giving away the proceeds from the book and from some other things that were auctioned off. And so I truly believe that in every opportunity, in terms of, there's an opportunity to give back, too.
Absolutely. And the more wealth you have, the more you're able to move fluidly throughout the universe and to give as much as you'd like to. And that's really part of what I want to be doing. And, you know, when I tithe at Agape, when I go to Agape, I don't write a check. I put cash in there, and I put as much as I want in there. I put more in there than I think I can most of the time. And, you know, I sat down with Reverend Michael when we were in our interview with him before he married John and I, and said, you know, when I tithe, I don't write a check. And he said, well, you should. You get income tax credit for it at the end of the year. We send you an invoice. And I said, I don't want it. I don't want that. When I'm tithing, I'm giving without any expectation from it other than the gift of giving. And he shook his head and he went, wow, you're pretty rare. So, you know,
well,
that's
yeah,
the way
you
I
have to follow your gut, you know, Kate. And I think that's an important part of it. Now, the only thing I do want to say is because we are in some different economic times than we've been for a while, or perhaps for a lot of people it is a tough time, and they're hearing us talk a little bit about really, you know, envisioning success and envisioning prosperity, and they're thinking, well, maybe they're having trouble thinking about, you know, where how they're going to create income now because they've just lost a regular job. And at this point, you know, one of the things that I recommend to these people is to go back to what we were talking about, is to begin with the whole idea of gratitude, of being grateful for where you are. And this, you know, what turns out to be maybe, you know, you think one of the worst challenges of your life is losing a job. Wow, I've been fired several times, and I have to tell you, almost all of those times, maybe now I'll look back and say, all of those times were great opportunities for me, but I certainly didn't think so at the time.
Well, nobody does. And one thing that John and I like to do is whatever is our biggest challenge of the day, week, month, or year is the very thing we put at the top of our gratitude list.
Isn't that wonderful? I know you've got something even on your corporate website about gratitude, correct?
We have a gratitude page. And, you know, it's very important to, it's a muscle that you, first you must develop the muscle, then you strengthen the muscle, and the muscle is this. Whenever something's happening in your life that you're not comfortable with, just ask yourself what's perfect about this.
That
when
is
you
really
that
phrase, and I think
yeah,
that
you're
I
getting
am, it's so
in the
important.
Mindset of perfection and gratitude. And when you come from that place, you're attracting what you do want and not what you don't want. If you're focusing on what's good about every situation, even if it's stinky and doesn't have a very pretty package, then you're going to attract what's good about it and not what's bad about it. And honestly, everything is energy, and what you vibrate is exactly what you attract. So if I find myself in an off mood or a down mood, or I've lost touch with my higher self for a few minutes, boy, do I ever feel it. And what I said about doing when it happens is getting myself back in alignment with my frequency, which is, you know, tapping back into who I really am, what I'm here for, why I chose to come to this world and do the things that I do. And, you know, this is a perfect station to talk about these kind of esoteric philosophies, because, you know, if it ain't mainstream, you'll find it on BBS radio, that's for sure. So, you know, I know that the listeners who are drawn to this radio show will understand what I mean when I speak of frequency, vibration, energy, and what you think about, you bring about. And, you know, I have a Katieism that goes like this. It costs us nothing to believe. It costs us everything if we don't. Believing is free. We can have all we want, and it doesn't have any calories.
I love it.
And it's true.
No, it's so important. And I find that I use the gratitude, and I'll be working, and I, you know, having maybe a frustrating day, or maybe I'll have a little bit of a family challenge back east, and I'll say, kind of kick myself, well, here you are in California, and it's all sunny, and they're having some challenges back east, why aren't you there? And then I'll, you know, things will resolve, and then I start looking outside and I'm seeing the beauty of nature, and I really get into, you know, that's where I come up with this GRAPS formula that I use, starting with gratitude and releasing a lot of the, you know, old feelings from the past and being ready to receive right there and then, you know. And so sometimes when I was working with actors, I remember I would say to them, well, you know, a lot of people say you have to put in your dues, but other people really, sometimes it is just there for, you know, it's given to you. And so you have to not have your hand out looking for money, but really have an opportunity to, you know, take someone's hand and give them, you know, the opportunity to share with you too.
Right, right. And there's something beautiful in your vision boarding book that talks about suspending disbelief, release,
yeah,
and receive. And one thing I know for sure, Joyce, and if you get the image in your mind of a person with their fists clenched, kind of going, why me,
mm-hmm,
with their fists clenched, as long as their fist is clenched, their hand is not open to receive.
Ooh, I love that.
And you want to get to a place where you can just open your hands and open your arms to the day. We just heard that recently from a lovely lady named Paulana. And she said, I don't know what's coming, but I opened my arms to the day. And that was just so beautiful and a great philosophy. And she's just an amazing person. And the book that you've created for this time during this wonderful revolution of consciousness is so absolutely perfect for a follow-up for the movie The Secret, the book The Secret. You know, it goes in hand-in-hand with that kind of philosophy and thinking, which really woke everybody up. I know it's controversial in all kinds of different ways, but if it took somebody thinking they could just manifest for themselves some money to get them off the couch and moving and inspired, then bless it. Just bless it. You know, and the last six letters of attraction are action, and anybody who's trying to attract something without being in action is fooling themselves. You know, a prayer without action is no prayer at all.
No,
and a
absolutely.
Vision board is great action.
Yeah, the action, acknowledge and asking, and then in inspired action. And then truly believing. A lot of people don't believe they're worthy for some reason, or they've been told this by outsiders. And
mm-hmm.
then, of course, one of the challenges in Hollywood is not being authentic, is that someone says, well, you're too old, you're too young, you're too fat, you're too short, your hair's too short, your hair's too long, your nose should be shorter, your nose should be longer, whatever, and you get so wound up in that, you know, sometimes that it's really crucial to get back to being authentic with yourself.
Yeah, when I was an actress, that happened to me. I was doing a casting director workshop as an actress, and the woman has passed away since then, and, you know, I'm not going to give her name, but if I did, a lot of people would call in and go, you too? That happened to you too? But I was doing a scene with her in front of a class of 30 people, and I had to be just a tyrant, and I had to call her the B word. So I had to call her basically a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it so well that she stopped the reading and said, you are just not likable. You're not likable at all. You'll never make it in this town. You're just not likable. And I said, the script called for me to not be likable and to play
right,
this.
You just proved that you actually were the B word. You were acting as if you were the B word.
Yes.
Her very word showed that.
Yeah, she turned out to be that. And you know, but it did throw me for a loop and made
of
me
course.
Guard me a bit. And it made me not want to approach the scenes after that with all of my truthful emotions that maybe they're just too much for people. And it did throw me into a tailspin for a time until I finally went, wait a minute, I just got lied to. And the class afterwards came up to me and said that I did a beautiful job and what she did wasn't right and that it was abusive.
Well, see,
and not
in a way, you know, didn't lie to you. She just told that you were being the B word without realizing it. Unfortunately, she told it in a kind of a convoluted manner. So in a way, you can be grateful to her and the class for affirming your power.
Well, I did. I was feeling that too, and at the same time, we're sensitive beings when we're
artists. Of course, we're not
not a spot. Yeah, and I respected this woman so much, and to hear her do that, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. So, you know, I went on to work a lot more, and it, you know, didn't ruin me, but it's easy to get thrown off track by comments like that.
Absolutely. And, that's where, you know, part of it is of having an opportunity to be with very positive people that can support you, of being with a like-minded community. That's why it's great to have Spiritual Hollywood to tune into at least, you know, once a week. And, you know, you can keep books like the Vision Board book and give them as gifts and keep them on your desk. This is a book that's meant to be opened every day. You don't have to read it page by page by page. You can just open it up and you can see, here's a chance on page 81 on what you can do with affirmations.
Yes.
And so this is really kind of a cool thing. Maybe I just do that one thing today, is that I take a paper and pen and I put something on an affirmation and I put it inside of an old candy dish with several different affirmations on it, and I pull one of those out when I need a little inspiration.
Right, right. And you know, another fun thing to do too, Joyce, is I have a God box. And
oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, and John gave me this box with something wonderful inside of it. I don't remember what it was, but the box is beautiful. It's tin, and it's got hearts all over it, and it just looks so much like love. And I thought, I'm going to make this my God box. So
right.
I put whatever I wanted God to handle in my day for me or the universe to handle for me down and stuck it in that box. And, you know, every morning I would make two lists, one list of things I was to do and one list of things that I wanted the universe to do. And I would put those things in the God box. And when I go in that God box and start looking around at the things I've put in there, which I've got a couple hundred things in there, I see that many, many, many of them have come through and come true with little or no effort and so easily that I didn't even notice. And then I'll go through and read and I'll go, I have that now. I have that now. I have that now. I have that now. I've got more than that now. And the things come true most of the time, even more extraordinary than I even thought they could.
Well, that's one of the things that Reverend Beckwith says in terms of actually setting up your list for the universe is to ask for this or something better that the universe may provide.
Yes, and when I go into prayer, my prayer starts like this. I give thanks for this, 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 and this. Whether I have it or not, I'm giving thanks for it as if I've already received it, and that's the way I pray. I never ask. I always say thank you.
See, now that's a wonderful hint, and I hope you're going to share some of these. We're going to be setting up a handbook and a workbook to go along with this vision board book, and so that we can have certified vision board counselors all across the country. I've already got the first dozen people that are in the 6 to 8 week of the 8 week course to get certified, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to create a whole lot of products that they will be able to sell kind of Avon style. And I would love to get a picture of your God box and you and the God box. And maybe you and John of the God box or something, and also a picture of Chewbacca, the little picture that you had of the toy, dog, because these are the kind of stories that I've included in the Vision Board book. But if we can actually show people step by step, which we haven't had a chance to do everything in the book and certainly not tonight, but if we can show them in the handbook or the workbook, wow, I think it'll be so inspired.
Yes, and there's another thing, too, is that we had on our desk at the office a card. I love greeting cards, and this greeting card, I just bought it because it was so cute and had me feel the essence of peace and joy and happiness and that all is well. And some cards just make you feel that way. So I bought this card because I felt the essence I felt by looking at it was just so balancing for me. And it's just a simple little picture of a little puppy playing with a little kitten.
Oh,
wrestling
how beautiful.
With the kitten. And lo and behold, after we got Chewbacca, we ended up adopting a little black kitten with green eyes named Midnight. And we noticed the other day when they were wrestling that we have that in real life now, too, like the card.
Oh, this is just a wonderful story. And I think that, you know, sometimes people just can't believe it when they see the actual examples. It's just so inspirational in terms of that. And, you know, there's so many opportunities. You know, you've been fortunate. You have a wonderful family. And one of the things in the Vision Board book is a whole section on how to do a parent and child board together. Or if you are recently married and coming, I was in a family where my partner at the time had two children, and I was suddenly a self-made mom, you know, in terms of that ready-made mom. And so it was, you know, how do you deal with these kinds of things? And a vision board is really one of the ways of providing that sense of family and relationship and gratitude for the opportunity.
Yes, and it's a wonderful feeling to bond in that way with the children. And, you know, I have now a 13-year-old stepson and a 9-year-old stepdaughter. And I have my own biological son who's 26, and the family is blending so beautifully with the addition of Chewbacca and the kitten.
You know, I think somebody should come along, and I wish I'm thinking about it. I may actually see what we can talk about after the show. And I'd love to see you guys have a television show.
That would be absolutely phenomenal.
I just think you're perfect for it. Anybody looks at that picture, and I just think you guys are so perfect for it, and you've got such a fascinating life, and then the ability to manifest. What do you think gives you, I'm sorry, I'm kind of turning this around, Kate, but I'm learning so much from you. What gives you that ability to manifest? And I think that's one of the things we didn't get into too much in the Vision Board book. We talk about gratitude. We talk about the whole concept of family, and we talk about how to activate your vision board and how to create the whole concept of vision. There's a whole section, as you know, with Reverend Beckwith, was actually the creator of this whole concept of life visioning. And so I was fortunate enough to interview Reverend Cynthia, who worked with him on the workbook, and so we've got some of that stuff. But what is it that makes some people have a more powerful way, or is it just a matter of luck or timing or what? I mean, I sat on my parents' patio, and it was just kind of a middle-class house, you know, with a working-class family. And, you know, I sat there reading my mom's magazine. It was called Ladies Home Journal. And somebody said, what are you going to do with your life? And I just held this magazine to my aunt, who was asking that question. I said, I'm going to work on this magazine. 5 years to the day, I was an intern on that magazine in New York City.
The declaration is powerful.
Right. So is it declaration? Is it part of the phrasing of how you do it that you think?
Well, that's a good question. I appreciate that you asked it. And the one thing I feel drawn to say about it is this. I've been told by Harry Morgan Moses, who is the minister of Spirit Works in Toluca Lake, more than once, he said that as he watches me and witnesses and observes me, that I am an expert at bringing the meta to the physical.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And what does that mean to those of us, or maybe those that are listening that aren't totally into it? We're kind of encouraged more by the Hollywood part than the spiritual part of your title.
I'll say it this way. As a talent manager, I've had clients leave me because I gave them what they wanted. They said they wanted a series where they play a cop and they're a series regular. Boom, I got it. And it freaked them out because their worthiness level was not high enough for them to allow that frequency in their life. It was such a high frequency that it totally burned them out, and they lost the jobs.
So that's what Jay Hendricks also talks about, that set point.
Exactly, the big leap.
Yes.
And I had him on my show, and we had an absolutely fantastic
interview. Yes, I heard it, yes.
You did? Wonderful.
I did. I couldn't call in, but I heard it that time, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. And another thing, too, that I do is, remember my Katieism, it costs you nothing but believe it, but it costs you everything if you don't.
Right.
Believing is you can have all you want and has no calories. It's true. I was born spiritually wide awake to an atheist family, and I stayed authentic the entire time.
You know, I think that's a great line for the opening of your book.
Well, and thank you, and it's true.
I was born spiritually wide awake to an atheist family.
Exactly, and that should give you an idea of the framework of my childhood. And I was determined that it was my mission in this lifetime to help people understand the divinity of who they are and get them back to their factory settings. So I also do something called, I co-created quantum hypnotherapy, where in 2 hours we bring a person back to their factory settings. We uninstall their old software, the blocks and the things that don't work for them. And I sit in the corner and do automatic writing while the hypnotherapist is putting them under. And then that's the new software. That's the new life blueprint.
So fun. I was just talking about a child, you know, when they're born, is that everything is possible to them until they start hearing what? That word, no.
Yeah, so we deprogram them and coach them, and then we bring them back to their divinity by installing their birthright, reminding them of their birthright to have the perfection that they are because they are perfect, and reminding them that they can have, do, and be anything that they choose. And to a large degree, because I was born spiritually wide awake to an atheist family, I learned to live in the unseen a great deal, the unseen being on the other side, not the physical, human spirit, more so than human animal, and that's my goal, is to become pure human spirit in physical form, which is a great big tall order. And, you know, I want to vibrate at the frequency of God, and I want to do it while I'm still alive. And, you know, I look at myself and I go, you know, I still have a lot of human animal traits. A lot of times I'll become judgmental about people and then catch myself and then immediately in the moment just declare that I'm, you know, I'm human spirit, until finally I'm going to just keep behaving that way. To answer your question further about how can I personally manifest the things in my life that I have, I'm recently married to my God-intended sacred partner. The way that happened is so amazing and astounding that, you know, that's a book all in itself. And, you know, even though I wanted to just be the girlfriend to the universe and never care about having a physical mate again, because I'd been married twice before, and I'm friends with both of those people, I decided that I'm going to, you know, you've heard the phrase, you can pray to Allah but tie up your camel, right? Well, I tied up my camel by going to Macy's and getting the blue velvet Tommy Hilfiger robe in a man's size, a man's robe with men's matching slippers. I didn't look at the size of the shoes, and I spent a month smelling fragrances of the way I would want my man to smell. And I put the robe in my closet and the slippers under my bed, and I spritzed the cologne a little bit every night on my pillow before I went to bed. And within a year, when it was appropriate to do so, John tried on the robe and slippers. Both fit him perfectly, and he's been through two bottles of that cologne. So I found my cinder fella.
Oh, and that's so fabulous. And we've got some great stories on relationships in the chapter on the book. And it talks about, of course, I talk about the most important relationship of all is the relationship that you have with yourself.
Absolutely, 1,000%.
And so
there it is. There
it is. There's some wonderful things about, there's some women that were stay-at-home moms for like 20 years and then ventured off. And there's a wonderful lady from Cleveland, Ohio that has love as the essence of life is her motto and theme, and she creates some beautiful recycled artwork. And one of the things that she's doing now is to turn this into not only a career, but it's becoming a nonprofit. So the whole idea of really not only being your own best friend, but of using the vision to, you know, create the love of your life, or to co-create or meet the love of your life, it's just a fascinating concept. We've got a story from a couple in Europe that both created their own vision boards, and when you see them together, you'll just, in different cities, in different countries, and you'll look at them and you'll see that there are amazing similarities in some of the colorations on their board.
I agree with you. Did you know that Lisa Nichols from The Secret, her love of her life, just had put Lisa Nichols' picture on his vision board, and the very next day met her at Agape.
Oh,
and
I
when
love
she saw him,
story.
He lost breath.
Those are so wonderful, and I was fortunate to be on the same radio show as Lisa, and want to thank her again because of showing her vision board on Oprah once again was one of the inspirations for writing the book. I had just gotten out of the hospital here over at St. John's for 3 days from an intestinal illness, and I thought, I really want to change my life. And when I saw that show and I saw her board, and I thought, wow, we used to do these at Women in Film, and I've done these similar things in working with my coaching practice on marketing producers and directors and, companies that are getting venture funding, even like eMusic, when I worked with Mark Chasen, and thank heavens he's included his board for his new company in this. So you can use the vision boards for the company too. And so
right.
Once again, I think this is so fascinating, and I'm just so thrilled that, you know, you agree. I'm so fascinated by your tips on the manifestation. As I said, I want to get back to after the show and include them in the workbook and the handbook.
Right. Right. And another thing too, Joyce, that I could say about how am I able to manifest things, I jump into action. I look more than a year out into my future and I start building it. And when I build the framework, the rest shows up. The universe just flies in to support it. Like a laser beam. And, you know, John told someone recently that he never saw anything like it, that I plan things way in advance. My first two marriages, I volunteered, I wasn't a victim, I volunteered to let those men have all of my finances to the point of financial ruin twice. I didn't learn the lesson the first time, so I did it again. This time, I mean, both times I came back to complete credibility financially, to having a perfect FICO score. Today my FICO score is 804. And I keep it that way because I looked into my future and I started cleaning up credit things that were on my credit report that I didn't know what they were, so I tracked them down like a detective until I found out whether I was guilty of it or not. If I was, I cleaned it up. If I wasn't guilty of it, I got it off my record. And you've got to start somewhere. And what I do, like, I mean, I'm just noticing myself, and thank you for asking the question because I didn't know this about me until you asked it. I jump into action immediately when I set my sights on something.
Absolutely.
I jump into action.
There is some value in actually knowing what you want, and I was just telling my brother before, is that got off the airplane in New York last week, and I had looked at the idea of going to see the play Shrek. But I was only in New York for 72 hours. I'm doing a television show, matter of fact, that I did with Susan Chomsky, the wonderful Susan Chomsky, and it will be on later this week in 52 markets. And so that was the primary reason to go to New York.
Great.
Yeah, it was really cool, and we'll tell you more about that later in an email. But the good part was I was looking at this. I just tore out the thing about Shrek, the play, in the out of the magazine, the New York magazine I carried with me. And all of a sudden, I know this sounds almost too wonderful to believe, I got to New York. I was able to get a car to take me to New York, which was fabulous, from Kennedy. And I literally was walked out of my hotel room just with my cutoffs on and a T-shirt, and I was going to go get some diet soda and some water and some juices, and somebody stopped me on the corner, and it was a guy that literally had like a suit and a jacket, and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Excuse me." And he puts these tickets for a play in front of me, and he says, "Do you want to go see Shrek? It's on in 20 minutes. And I said, "Huh?" And I'm looking at him kind of like, what's going on here? Am I, like, you know, not hearing this correctly or what? And I said, "Well, you know, when is it? 20 minutes. It was 20 minutes to 2 on a Sunday afternoon. I'd even forgotten they had matinees. I'm thinking I only have one night in New York on Monday, and I think most of the theaters are closed. What am I going to do?" And all of a sudden, he says to me, he says, "Well, $60 and, you know, times 3 or $200 for 3 tickets or something." And I said, It's just me. I don't even see my friends until tonight. And I'm thinking, well, I could go over there. And he says, "What about $50? And I took out my wallet and I looked, and I was real careful, of course, to guard my wallet well.
Yep.
And I pulled out $220s and I said, "I'm sorry, I only have $220s. And he says, "I'll take it." 5 minutes later, I was in the first row at Shrek.
Yeah. Wow.
Woo! You know, 5 minutes later, $40, part of it is, okay, I had some cash, so they gave me some negotiating power. Two is that I knew that I did want to see it. So if somebody would have said Shrek and I didn't think it was, I think it was a movie or, you know, something or a book or just, or the TV or video, I knew it was a play. And I was ready to go. I had my shoes on, I had my purse. I thought, okay, I don't have to dress up. It's Sunday afternoon. Here I am.
Awesome. That is so wonderful. Congratulations
and
on that.
Part of it is just, you know, the opportunity comes, but I could have looked at the guy and thought, what are you trying to do? You're trying to sell me some, you know, junk on the corner? Of... But he was so nicely dressed, and I just thought, you know, I'll bet you he probably works at the play or something. And
you were vibrating a belief, and that came true.
Mm-hmm.
He showed up to support your belief.
Right. And then I just thanked the universe, and I go like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Bet you had a blast.
Oh, it was. It was so much fun because you have this, I'm in the first row, and there's this giant green guy, and then there's this donkey, and you get to see the little sparkles on the clothes.
You feel like a little girl?
People.
Did you feel like a little girl?
Oh, I always feel like a little girl.
That's a great quality, Joyce. That's a great quality.
If I'm in the right vibration, I try to get back into that vibration. Sometimes I feel 14, but, you know, I try to get back into that sense. And I am goofy like that. I will go see cartoons. I will see, all kinds of things.
We saw Up, and we cried like babies. And we took Chewbacca in our purse to the movies, and we cried like babies. That movie just is so moving.
Which one was that?
Up.
Oh, yes.
It's wonderful. And just a real quick segue here slightly. When I was in second grade, we were poor, poor, poor. I wore house slippers to school in the snow that were made out of cardboard, and they fell apart. And that's just a small snippet. We were poor. And I had nothing to give my class, but I loved watching the Bob Hope special, and it was on the night before. And he always ended his show with, "The most wonderful gift of all is love." And I thought, I know what I can give my class for Christmas. I'll give them love. So I took a flashlight, and I made 32 little greeting cards, Christmas cards, for my classmates with Bob Hope's profile on the front. And on the inside, it said, "Bob Hope says the most wonderful gift this Christmas is love. So I'm giving you love." And I signed my name. I put it on everybody's desk the next morning. I was so excited that I could give them something. And I sat at my desk just waiting and waiting. And then, you know, as everybody came into the class, I gave the teacher one, two. One by one, they started laughing and pointing. Even the teacher laughed and pointed at me and made fun of me for giving them all a card that was just my feelings of love for them. And it was just so humiliating. I never forgot it. And I always knew that Bob Hope would be special to me. And I just kept that belief and kept that belief. And I knew that what I did was heartfelt, authentic, genuine, and kind. And I really meant it when I drew those pictures. I stayed up half the night doing that for the kids. And I wanted to give them my love. And they just, you know, kids can be cruel in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher didn't help much either. Later on in life, fast forward, I moved to Hollywood. I become an actress. My first job was doing a little bit part in Top Gun because I told the director, you know, I was an extra. I said, "I'm sitting here talking to Tom Cruise 4 days in a row, which I would pay you guys to get to do, and that's all I'm doing." I said to the director, I said, "Please let me do something else to earn my money." So he sent me to wardrobe and makeup and hair, told me what to do. I came in, and he says, "Just when I say action, come into the bar and say, 'Ooh, yeah, baby,' and shake your shoulders." And I did that. And I'm in the scene where Tom Cruise is singing that song. And then I ended up going to the premiere with Jerry Bruckheimer and Tony Scott, and arm wrestling them both in the limousine because I have a world title in arm wrestling, which is another visioning thing that I did. And later on after that, my second job was I got a call from my agent after I'd been up all night painting the walls of my house, and I slept on my face and my makeup, and my hair was a mess, had paint all over me. She says, "Can you be at downtown San Diego in a half an hour?" I said, "Why?" She said, "You're going to meet Bob Hope and his wife Dolores in the hotel." And I went, "I'll be there. What's the address?" I wrote it down. I combed my hair. I put on a golf cap. I had washed a wool sweater from Scotland accidentally in my washer, and it shrunk. I put that on anyway. I put on some Bermuda shorts and some high heels and did my makeup really fast, sped over to the hotel, and walked in, and all these beautiful blonde women, California beauties, started laughing at me because I walked in with a shrunken golf sweater and Bermuda shorts, high heels. I looked like I was from the 1940s with my little bebop hat on and my ponytail, black hair. And they're laughing at me, and I went back right back to second grade, and then I went, you know what? I have a right to be here. And so I'm standing in line waiting to go in. Bob and Dolores are sitting in their pajamas with their little dog, Max, and we all walk in, and I make eye contact with Bob, and I was like, oh, my gosh, there's Bob Hope. There's Dolores. It's so wonderful to be here, and I didn't even care if I got the part. So I walk in, and he says, okay, girls, I want you one by one to walk across the floor and walk back again. And they were looking for weeks and weeks for the pinup girl for the General Doolittle's 90th birthday celebration. And so everybody did it, and then it came my turn, and I, on purpose, walked in my best Marilyn Monroe, exaggerated, hips swinging, big smile, and the little dog Max came and started dancing with me, so I danced with Max a bit and did my turnaround, clapped my hands, and did, like, ta-da, and the girls all were snickering again against the wall, and I walked over and just proudly held my head up and took my place. And Bob looked across the room. He looked at me. He goes, you know, I'm going to take the black-haired girl. And I looked around the room for who that was, and I realized it was me. And I'm telling you, the thrill that went through my body was, I can't describe it. The endorphins you get from an endorphin high from jumping out of an airplane don't come close. And then I walked out of the room, and the talent coordinator saw me sliding down the wall. She goes, dear, you don't have time to faint. Your limo is here. And in
I love that line.
Yeah, and it was true. A man walked in with a ice blue cummerbund, bow tie, white gloves, and I had my own ice blue limousine, stretch limousine for myself, taking me to the set where I worked with Phyllis Diller. I mean, every name, James Stewart and Bob Hope sat side by side, one on either side of me with a hand on my knee, and I told Bob Hope the story about second grade, and he said, I knew there was something special about you, kid.
Well, that's certainly wonderful, and I'm proud of Mr. Hope, too, because he's from my hometown of Cleveland, and so we grow him good over there, although he's originally from London, but we appreciate him being a legend of the time in terms of that. You've got some great stories, Kate. We've got to try to work together somehow.
Well, the thing is that I told that story because that was a declaration when I was in second grade that manifested many years later. Now when I declare something, from declaration to manifestation is almost instantaneous because I have been working that muscle for decades.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other thing. That's why I say with the GROTS formula is you do the gratitude and then you release any of those bad feelings in the past, but be ready to receive. Before you're doing
your
inspired action.
Broken. Yes,
you know, because you don't know when the world wants to give to you. Have, as you said, how did you say it with about the hands out, but not a hand out?
Hands, if your hands are clenched in a fist, they're not open to receive.
And so this is, you know, you have your hands out, but you're not looking for a handout.
No, your hands are open
right.
And relaxed.
That's really, I think that's a really wonderful way of saying it. And used to do a wonderful program with the Bob Hope USO over here, too. And so we share a lot of wonderful things in terms of reaching out to the community. And, you know, I'm thrilled that you brought me on today, and I could hear some great stories and share some of mine. And
it was great to have you on. I want to give your website again. www.ihaveavision.org. www.ihaveavision.org. There is so much more to Joyce Schwarz than we've gotten to talk about in this 55 minutes. And if you just go to her website, Joyce, I believe it's www.joyce.com.
Joycecom.com.
Joycecom.com. You'll get another little snippet of this lovely woman. Her email is joycecom@AOL.com. If you want to email her with any questions, comments, or you know, anything at all, and please go to her website and check out the Vision Board book, because when the Vision Board, The Secret to an Extraordinary Life, believe me, it absolutely works, and it costs you nothing to believe it. And belief is just, it has biology in it. And if you believe, here's my philosophy again as a Katieism. It's like I used to live with people who said, I'll believe it when I see it. And I, on purpose, turned into a person who would see it when they believe it. And I showed that to them time and time again. I told them that I was going to catch dinner from the lake in the rain with a hot dog, a stick, and a string, and a safety pin. And I went out and caught the biggest bluegills in our lake in Florida, four of them, that fed a family of seven that night for dinner. And when I came back in with a bucket so full of fish that there was no room for them in it and handed them to my stepdad and said, clean these, he just started laughing. Well, and that's not a made-up fish story. That's the truth.
A wonderful story, and I think that that's like a really cool ending, because your dad was laughing with pleasure, whereas before the people weren't.
Yes, I think we either have a caller or we're getting kicked off the air.
Okay.
Okay,
thank you
for being
so much.
Joyce.
Take care.
We'll see you next week.
Share the vision. Bye.
Thank you.